Hello, and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map, and today my guest is Brad Risacci, creative director of Accenture's Houston Innovation Hub. Brad, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So I know you have taken a very winding road in your career, and I think it's fabulous. I think you have come from all these different industries. And before we get kind of into any true detail, why don't you just tell me how you describe your career and what gets you out of bed in the morning?
Yeah, I mean, that's an awesome question. I love to really kick off with why I get out of bed every day. And for me, it's really about simplifying how humanity lives, works, and plays. If you look at the world that we live in today, there's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of great design. There's also a lot of really bad design. And we have to start with a human being in order to drive how we create what it is that we're going to dream up. And I just believe wholeheartedly in dedicating my life's work to how we approach that. If you look at our landscape today, all of us, for the most part, are very addicted to our devices. Everywhere we go, from the elevator to the grocery store to our work, we look around and we see everyone heads down in their devices. And I just believe wholeheartedly that in as much as we are able to, we need to get our devices out of our hands and allow technology to do what it does best, but allow it to do it in the background, because we're really fortunate. Technology is catching up to our imaginations, and we have this amazing opportunity to get our human back.
Yeah. So I guess tell me a little bit about some moments in your career, because you've been a teacher. You've worked in like the creative industry. So what were some turning moments in your career that led you to where you are today?
Yeah, absolutely. I love a Steve Jobs quote that says, "We connect the dots backwards." It's really interesting in the moment to recognize or realize how you're going to head along the path that you're on. And there is a lot of organic serendipity, I believe, in your journey and how you formulate one's own life's work beyond just a career or a job. And passion has always been that kind of connective tissue for me. So I started out in organizational behavior, focusing on how the dynamic of a human behaviors allows you to understand how an organization behaves or operates. And then I woke up one day and realized I'd lost my passion in that. And while the work that we were doing was very impactful, I didn't feel connected to it anymore. And so I dove headfirst into education, because you have a direct impact every single day with real humans that you get to interact with and mentor and coach and really help lead them along a journey, with education as a tool to drive that. And so I was really fortunate to be able to work in a Title I district with underserved populations and really help educate them on math, language arts, and business were the three subject areas that I focused on. What I realized later on is that they taught me way more than I ever could have taught them. And I was really fortunate to have that time with that student population to hopefully help shape some of the future and inspire them and motivate them.
And so then ultimately you kind of found your way into the creative industry with 900 pounds. So tell me about that and then how that transitioned to what you do now at Accenture.
Yeah. So I was in grad school, and I actually was really fortunate to have my graduate program custom build a degree plan with me to focus on a hybrid between an MBA and a focus on education. I was in the very end of my first year, and it was going swimmingly well. And I got up one day, and again, a person who's driven by conviction and passion recognized very quickly that this was not where I needed to be focused. And so I walked out of an exam and never went back. The reason that happened is because I had started really researching and investigating some really cool emerging topics around employee engagement and gamification science. And again, this is back in 2013. These topics were still relatively provocative and new. And so there wasn't a whole lot of research around it that I was able to find. But what I found compelling about it was these topics on neuroscience. Mm-hmm. And I was fascinated that in something like engaging employees in the workforce and taking game theory and game principles and applying them in a non-game environment, that neuroscience would be kind of a factor or a correlator within the two spectrums. And just developed a hypothesis and thought that, well, if you can find and discover these elements of the human being in one discipline and you're seeing it in another, I wonder where else this might be possible. And so design became the focus for me on how do we take how the brain operates and functions and how humans interact with one another in both physical and hopefully digital spaces, and really start to bring that together. And pitched the idea to a good friend of mine, and we agreed to kind of start on this journey together down that path.
So after that conversation, what happened next?
So after we pitched the idea, I decided to join this team of five humans out of Dallas and still live in Houston. And so we jokingly said over the years that I was quote unquote very driven because I would drive back and forth between Houston and Dallas every week. And we wanted to just see how this would go, right? Like the hypothesis was definitely an innovative hypothesis. You're talking about bringing neuroscience into the design process. And so it took us about a year, year and a half to really build through that framework. But as we started working together, we realized more and more this actually worked quite well. And we were applying it in what today would be classified as serious games. Mm-hmm. So think Call of Duty, but for very real business challenges. We also found that it works in product design. We found that it works in physical environments and that it works in digital environments. And it was phenomenal because that launched a path onto the speaking circuit to go and share these ideas with the world and inspire and challenge audiences. It allowed us to open a second studio right here in Houston that we operated for a little over a year, working with clients and also allowing that space to be kind of our research lab so that we could build on some of the content and the ideas. And then it also offered up an opportunity to partner more with universities and start to share some of that thought leadership with student populations and just inspire them to action. So both with our clients, with the industries that we worked with, and as well as across the spectrum with young minds.
So after 900 pounds and everything that you had done in your career at that point, you know, you found yourself at Accenture. So what do you bring to the table at Accenture, and what does the Innovation Hub as a whole bring to Houston?
See, more than anything, it's a very shoulders of giants kind of mindset, right? Because along every path and every moment along the journey, it's the amazing humans around you that help elevate you to drive forward. And as I mentioned around my life's work and my passion about simplifying how humans live, work, and play, and making that as intuitive and experiential and as enjoyable as possible, because delight and surprise are also really important factors in that. When we look at the world that we live in today, we live in a very experiential world. Whether it's ordering a coffee at Starbucks, getting into an Uber, or any other app that we love to interact with, experience is driving so much of the interactions that we have today. And it is just as relevant in industries that we work with. And so being able to pull forward my life's work with bridging things like science, with imagination, with design, and with technology, to bundle all that together and allow it to work together in a very combinatory way, allows for us to unlock the potential of how we solve really hard challenges with the clients that we work with.
So what do you see the Accenture Houston Innovation Hub, what's the role that it's playing in the ecosystem?
Our focus is really on exploring the unexpected, dreaming up what could be, and creating what will be. And at a high level, we believe that is at the core of our belief system as a team. If you look at the type of challenges that we're working to solve, we work a lot with clients in what's called the resources industry. So in oil and gas, chemicals, and utilities, as well as clients in healthcare. And they have very hard, very real challenges that need to be solved in a very innovative way. And what that really means is taking invention, so things that are new, and then coupling that together with innovation, those layers of creativity and imagination that you apply to invention, really unlocks the potential to create very beautiful, delightful, and yet very practical and tangible solutions that they absolutely need here and now.
So I want to transition into talking about the Houston Fight Club, because that's something that Innovation Map and Accenture are working to bring to Houston for the first time. It's existed in Dallas for a while, and I think it really plays into that what you said about Accenture dreaming up what could be, because these conversations are going to be talking about, you know, various topics within innovation. So I guess first tell me, for, you know, the listeners, talk about the setup and, you know, how it is an innovation event unlike any other.
I would love to. So having been a fighter of Digital Fight Club in year one, I really fell in love with the approach that it takes. I have jokingly called it TED 2.0 over the years, because it takes this format that allows you to share ideas in a very short form content type of way. Quick kind of funny stat is that our attention span is 7 seconds and the attention span of a goldfish is 9 seconds, which means we actually have a shorter attention span than goldfish today. So even digesting 20 minutes of content today is quite difficult. Mm-hmm. What makes Digital Fight Club very compelling is one, that it's very experiential, and we talked about experiential a moment ago. Also, it brings in this narrative that kind of shows two opposing views. And the power of that is simply that as human beings, we don't always have the exact same viewpoint on a certain topic. And so this elevates that conversation onto a platform in a format that's taking that play on Fight Club and allowing it people to kind of mind spar and just nerd out on a topic that they're both passionate about and that they typically have a high level of expertise in. And then being able to share that narrative with the audience opens up a framework that allows them to engage and interact in a really fun kind of creative way beyond just the traditional panel format. And I think that's where the innovation comes into play, is it's quite easy to do a fireside chat or a panel with people up at the front of a room with microphones in their faces. However, when you put them on a stage and bring this beautiful experience to life, it just totally shifts the narrative. I mean, effectively, if you think about it, you have 5 fights, 5 topics, you have 5 minutes per topic, and you are basically taking these fights and you're allowing people in a very quick way share that story and that narrative.
Yeah, so the event is on November 20th. It's at White Oak Music Hall. As you mentioned, very engaging. You know, the audience is a part of it. The audience will vote on the winners, right? So I love that engaging aspect of it. But let's talk about the topics a little bit. I know they're very special to Houston because this is the first time it's in Houston. All of the fighters will be Houston founders and entrepreneurs, Houston players, and the refs as well. So talk to me a little bit about each topic and kind of maybe what you're excited about for each one.
Absolutely. So topic one is future workforce of robotics and AI. Fight two is whose responsibility is cybersecurity. Fight three, oil and gas and the environment. Fight four, digital in our personal lives. Is it time for us to disconnect or no? And fight five, the future of primary care.
So which one of those are you most excited about and why?
Oh, that is a wonderful question. I think I'm really excited about each fight for very different reasons. All of these topics are very relevant to the Houston ecosystem, and I believe are going to elevate and really showcase the points of view, the thought leadership, and just the innovative minds that we have embedded in our community.
I'm most excited about, I'll share mine. And we were just talking about this before we started recording, but the oil and gas industry and the environment, because it is something that I think Houston has long been known as being the energy capital of the world, but at the same time, there's a lot of movement happening within sustainability in Houston. And so I think that'll be an interesting topic. So seeing as you were a fighter in the similar setup, what was your experience with it and kind of what was maybe challenging about the setup and what you had fun with?
So I still remember when Michael Pratt, who's the founder of Digital Fight Club, called me and introduced me to the gentleman that I was going to be fighting against. And so the two of us get on the phone and we're having this dialogue before the fight and we agreed on almost everything. And so it made it quite difficult to fight when you just got along swimmingly with someone else. However, there was one point of contention that we did have, and our topic was artificial intelligence and augmented reality. And so we took the stance on, is it here or is it yet to come? Mm-hmm. And with my passion that I have for the sciences, I felt as though when we talk about artificial intelligence, it is not synthetic biology at this point. Mm-hmm. And so to say that it is already here, I felt was a flawed viewpoint. And then he equally felt as though it was absolutely already here and that we were already immersed in it and interacting with it. And so that was kind of how we developed out the conversation and how we built our debate, so to speak. The format is a blast, right? Because you only have 45 seconds to formulate your idea, share your point of view, and convince an entire audience that they should vote for your perspective and fall in love with your ideas. And then you get a 30-second rebuttal to disprove your opponent. And then the judges will ask you one, two, maybe three questions that you have to promptly respond to. And keep in mind, all of this happens in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
The whole event is only 45 minutes. Where I think the beauty of the event comes to life is that the fighters during each of the fights really set the stage for the after party.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the conversation and all the nerding out really comes to life, because you're bringing forth this narrative and this conversation from what happened on stage, and you're taking it off the platform and into the evening with 300, 400, 500 humans that are coming together to really passionately talk about these topics.
Mm-hmm. I love that you mentioned that, because I did write a story about the event, and I got to talk to Michael Pratt about kind of the magic of that after party. And it's like, jobs are, you know, created there. People are hired just kind of from the connections that from the after party itself. So
it's interesting, right? Because I learned about Accenture at Digital Fight Club.
What? Wow.
And of course, a few years went by. And then I met Brian Richards, who's the hub director, and really fell in love with the vision that he had for the Houston Innovation Hub and Accenture, which is why I uprooted my entire life and joined Accenture. Mm-hmm. But it was absolutely because I was exposed to, I think it was Accenture Digital that had sponsored it. Mm-hmm. And I was very intrigued by this corporation and how they were investing in the local community and the startup scene, and really finding the passion to bring that to life in, at the time, the Dallas community. And so now, being able to bring it full circle to Houston, I'm very excited to see how we can, you know, attract new talent, mm-hmm. and just continue to keep our stance strong that we believe wholeheartedly in the Houston community. And this is one more innovative way that we can work together collectively to bring that to life.
Great. So kind of with all of that said, you know, in your, you know, opinion, who should attend? Who should look into coming out on November 20th?
If you consider yourself a nerd in any way, shape, or form, this event is absolutely for you.
There you go. That's simply put. So kind of zooming out a little bit on the greater Houston innovation ecosystem, it's something I love to kind of wrap up a podcast with, and I know you have a lot to say about it, because you've kind of touched all corners, and your kind of tagline, Houston's your favorite color. So tell me a little bit about your kind of thought process through that. I know you've penned a really great piece for Innovation Map. It'll be on soon. But talk a little bit about that idea and kind of, you know, maybe even specifically we could start with your invention versus innovation and how the two are separate but play well together.
Yeah, I'd love to. So we did a study with the city of Houston, and we asked what we thought was a pretty simple question. We said, how innovative is Houston? We got two very different answers. One group in the population said, we're the most innovative city on the planet. We're curing cancer at MD Anderson. We're going subsea in the energy industry. We're putting men and women on the moon and 3D printing parts for the Orion project, and so on and so forth. Another group said, we're the least innovative city on the planet. They said, where's the VCs? Where's the startups? Where's the Googles? Where's the Facebooks? And what we really learned from that is that while we are great at invention, we're great at creating new things, we're great at exploration, this concept of innovation was a bit more of a new construct for our community, because it's those layers of creativity and imagination that you're applying to invention, as we mentioned earlier, and then being able to bring that to life. And so from that, a formula emerged, and I'll touch on it very quickly, but it's TCRI, and it's talent times collisions times resources times impact. And it's multiplied intentionally, because if any part of it goes to zero, the entire thing goes to zero. That really inspired us, because we found that human beings are the core of that. Mm-hmm. Their skill set, their mindset, the diversity of how they think. You need collisions. You need physical space to allow for that density to occur, as well as digital density. You need resourcing. You need emotional support. You need financial support. And you need an impact. You need a why statement that's rallying you as a battle cry to bring that to life. When you wrap all that together, what inspires me is Houston is my favorite color, because we are the most diverse city in the country, and some would argue one of the most inclusive on the planet. We are also a very vibrant art scene, and we have a wonderful food and bev scene. We are one of the top food and bev scenes on the planet. And why that's relevant is because that really ties into the five senses of humanity, and our five senses drives a lot of our decision making. And when you can find creative ways to bring that to life and how you solve very complex challenges both with the local community and with your own teams internally, that's when I believe you start to truly unlock what innovation actually means and how you leverage that as a tool, both to elevate your community, it elevates your economic development, it can be a tool for education, it can be a tool for the business industries that exist in our community, and truly it can be three generations from now what Houston becomes because of the flag that we're planting in the ground today.
I think it's interesting because it does kind of stem from that Accenture study and figuring out the formula. And now that was, I guess, a year ago, 2 years ago since the study?
A few years ago.
So what's the transformation that's happened in Houston since, and where are we in that equation now?
So the beauty of the equation, I believe, is that it's constantly evolving, mm-hmm. right? I visit a lot with humans about innovation, and one of the first things that I love to share with them is that it's infinite. It's never ending, and it exists somewhere between that chaotic ambiguity and beautiful chaos. Anything beyond that is typically no longer innovation. And so what I think is exciting about the organizational structure of Houston, if you will, is that our infrastructure is really starting to hit some big wins around those platforms. If you look at things like the Canon that have launched, if you look at Mass Challenge and Generator coming into the community, if you look at Houston Exponential being launched, Innovation Map coming to life, and even this podcast being here today, headquarters over on the East End, there are a vast number of points of activity that have started to emerge. And from that, not only are we able to work with our existing industries, but we even have emerging markets that are starting to arise. Things like sports tech, mm-hmm. something we would not have realized a few years ago had such an opportunity here in Houston. So from a existing environment to emerging markets that are coming up to all the cool activity that is happening, you know, I believe that systemic of most of that was that we started to build models around that and started to come together as a community saying that we are going to agree to work collectively around the belief system that we all believe that Houston is my favorite color in our own way of how we define that.
Yeah. I have a question. I don't know if there's a specific answer that you'll have for me, but I think it's interesting. What do you think is Houston's biggest obstacle? Because like you said, we have this great diversity and the city itself is a really great space for an innovation to happen, innovation activity in general. So what's kind of holding us back, if anything?
So when you think about Houston as a city, right, we're fourth in population, yet we're 89th in density. Mm-hmm. We're very sprawled out. And in the TCRI equation, density fits into the collisions piece intentionally. And I think early on, we felt as though that was one of our greatest challenges, if not our greatest challenge. You're not going to move Kingwood closer to downtown or the Woodlands or Sugarland or Katy or Galveston. However, we started to recognize it could also be one of our greatest opportunities because thankfully we live in a world where technology is catching up to our imaginations. And so we can solve for density by layering a digital mesh or some sort of a neural network, if you will, that brings the physical and the digital together through a blended model that allows for that to possibly become one of our greatest victories as a community. Because when we look at this strategically, we are not the only geographic landscape in the country where density is a challenge. And so I believe that if we can solve for that challenge here, we can spread that across Texas, we can spread that across the United States, we could spread that across the world if it so allows. And we are clearly really great at exploration as a community. It is in the core of our DNA. And so we have this amazing opportunity to explore how we solve for density and allow the output of that to be, I believe, a great opportunity for Houston to really share that narrative beyond our own four walls.
Mm-hmm. So to kind of create that density and the digital connection between a very sprawling Houston, what kind of advice do you have, or like what do you think that, you know, entrepreneurs, startup development organizations, what should we all be doing to kind of advance that?
we as an innovation ecosystem are young in the sense that we've been at this strategically for only a few years. Mm-hmm. We have a long journey ahead of us. Again, hopefully an infinite journey. And so I don't know that there is a clear answer yet exactly as to what that is. And I think that's kind of the beauty of it, is that if you are passionate about exploring new things, doing what matters, and making it so, then Houston is the place for you, especially right now, because you have an opportunity to really create a legacy as a human being. And everyone should feel very empowered to come along with us in that journey and help drive that narrative and that story forward with your own life's work and applying that with your own passions to really help Houston get to the point where we are able to answer that question mm-hmm. more strategically.
Great. Well, I know you talk a lot about this in the Houston's My Favorite Color article, which we'll be working on. And so I'm excited for that. I'm excited for the Digital Fight Club coming to Houston. Thanks so much for talking through some of these really exciting things that we have coming up.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm stoked for what's in the future for Houston.
Yeah, that's a great positive note to end on. Thanks.